Welcome to the New and Living Way Church, Ikorodu, where we bring to you teachings inspired by the Spirit of the Living God for the work of salvation through His servant, Pastor Olaide Olaniyo. Be blessed as you listen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Psalm 127. Let's start from verse 1. Like I said, all of these things are intertwined. The building of the house, the functionality of the home, marriage, and the concept of prayer that we have been talking about. Said, except the Lord build the house. Did you know that? It didn't say a house. Said the house. Say, except the Lord build the house. The labor in vain that build it. This house is actually the building of God that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were looking for. Bible says they were looking for a city that had foundations, whose builder and what maker is what? God. They were not looking for a building raised with human hands. Are you understanding? They were not looking for a building raised with human hands. Look at let's start from verse 8. Amen. So by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, verse 9, as in a strange land, dwelling in tabernacle with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs within of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had what? Foundations. Whose builder and maker is God. Verse 11. We're going through to 13. For through faith Sarah herself received seed to conceive, strength to conceive seed. And was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and even him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. 14, 15, lastly. And they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them what? A city. So, he said, except the Lord build a house. That house is not just one house, because in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. That house is a city. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Is a city. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situations, the joy of the whole world. He's Mount Zion, site of the northern city of the great King. He's Mount Zion, site of the northern city of the great King. Hallelujah. And greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situations, the joy of the whole earth. He's Mount Zion, the site of the northern city of the great King. He's Mount Zion, the site of the northern city of the great King. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Reminds me of Holy Ghost days. You sing some of the songs, you are so full and drunk with the wine of the Spirit. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Can you shout amen? So, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Every home is a house first. Hallelujah. That needs to be built. Every what? Is a layering of stone upon stones. Raising upon stone. And a home should be built before children are brought into it. Hallelujah. A home what? Yeah. You see that Psalm 107, Hebrews, they first desired the city that was built of God before Sarah received strength to conceive. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So, the home, I'm speaking in context of the home now, not the city of God, but it's a typology, amen? It's a what? Typology of a semblance of that which God is raising. We saw it in Ephesians chapter 6. We taught all of this last week, amen? That the marriage is a miniature representation of that which is eternal in the heart of God. Are you understanding? Even though there is no marriage in heaven, there is no marrying and giving in marriage. There is the marriage supper. He said, we will all be as the angels. But the relationship between us and Christ will still exist. So, yes, there won't be intermarriage, but our relationship will exemplify marriage. Do you understand me? So, marriage is supposed to exemplify something that is eternal. Even though marriage itself is not eternal. Are you understanding what I'm saying? When I mean marriage is not eternal, you are not joined to your spouse beyond this place. Are you understanding? But what it typifies transcends this place. That's why we said marriage is given to people who have life or people who are raised of God. Amen. Who are raised of God to do something. Amen. He said, except the Lord build the house. That's where I will start from today. I'll just revisit some of the things that we said last week, then probably push forward. That they labor in vain that build it. One of the most categorical statements that the Lord said was that a believer should only marry in the Lord. Have you ever read it in your Bible? 1 Corinthians 7. Say amen. 1 Corinthians 7. Amen. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Verse 39. So the wife is bound by the law, as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband is dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will. Can you underline the last phrase there? I didn't get that. Only. Say only. Say only. Say only. Say, I didn't hear everyone say only. Say only. You are not saying it as though you are persuaded. Say only. Only in the Lord. Only in the Lord. You know, it's as though Scripture is unequivocal about certain things. You see, marriage is not the hope of believers. It's a transaction. It's a privilege that God gives you on the side of eternity. But it's not something we die over. Are you understanding it? It's not what? It's not something we die over. When I say something we die to get into, I think that's a more accurate representation. It's not something a soul belabors herself. You know, one of the greatest undoing of our society is to put age as a qualification for marriage. And then begin to esteem souls as though that is the essence of existence. You see, one of the things that the Lord helped me to resolve way before I met my spouse was that, number one, he told me, you are going to get married. And helped me to resolve that even though I know, I don't know the time. And I came to a point where I said, even if it is at age 70 that word will be fulfilled, I don't mind. All I know is that God is never late. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Even if it's what? Age 70 that word will be fulfilled, I don't mind. Like we saw last week, it's not everybody to whom some graces are given. Amen. I don't want to go over that. But what I'm saying is this. The reason for your existence is not to marry. And when one age is passing you by, that doesn't mean life is passing you by. That doesn't what? As long as you have been raised in the Lord. So you see people that the eyes is more focused on marriage than growth. You will labor in vain. You can get married, but you will labor in vain. Or all your years will be wasted for vanity. So, one of the things that scriptures begin to say consistently, which we read it last week, but I want us to read it again. From verse 30, it's a day that used this world. Look at what it says. From verse 28. Let's just read from verse 28. It said, But if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a man virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. He's talking about the present circumstances then. He said, boy, I spare you. He said, but this I say, brethren, verse 29. The time is short, and it remaineth that both they that have wives be as what? Though they had none. And they that weep, as though they weep not. And they that rejoice, as though they rejoice not. And they that buy, as though they possess not. And they that use this world, as not abusing it. For the fashion of this world, what? Passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to what? To the Lord. How he may what? Please the Lord. He that is married careth for the things of this world. How he may please his wife. There's a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in what? Body and spirit. You see, the life purpose. Don't look at marriage as a fulfillment or as a dream come true. It is responsibility. It is what? It is responsibility. Is it honorable? Yes, it is honorable. But that is not what fulfills you. If God has attested that you are going to marry, all thanks be to God. We will meet it down the line. Are you understanding what I'm saying? All thanks be to what? God. We will journey as we are journeying. We will stroll into it. But when marriage becomes a goal, a target in your soul, you have already erred. You have already what? You have already veered off. When please pleasing the Lord and growing in the Lord is not the chief drive of your soul. You will use marriage, but you will be abusing it because you will be abstracted from the purpose of He that created the institution. You'll be abstracted from the intent of the person that raised that institution. So, say God is more interested in my raising than in my marriage. Yes. What I mean? Than in my marriage. Than in me getting married. God is more interested in my raising. In my raising. That is being built to please the Lord. Both in body and in spirit. God is more interested. He's more interested in me being built. Being built. At best, if you are not careful, marriage is a distraction. I said, if you are not careful, marriage is a blessing, you know, but if you are not careful, it's a distraction. Some people get married. That is all about following God. That is all about following God. It's distraction and the cares of this life that they mount upon themselves. Always have one excuse. This and this and this. They don't have eyes for the Lord again. Now, am I saying marriage is bad? No. But if you are not built, that institution can collapse your whole walk with God. It can collapse your whole walk, your whole relationship with Jesus. It's not something you aspire, it's something you grow into. Say, you grow into it. You grow. You grow. Amen. You grow. You grow into being husband. You grow into being wife. It's not certificates that makes you wife. Do you understand it? What did I say? It's not certificates that makes you wife. It is growth. It's not certificates that makes you husband. It is growth. He said, he that findeth what? Not a woman. So she was a wife before he brought him into the house. Are you understanding? She was what? Before she was brought to the house. How did she become a wife? She has grown and she has departed from her father and her mother. That's why the Bible now says, therefore shall a man leave his own father and his mother and cleave to his wife. What makes her a wife? Because she also has departed. You didn't get it? She also has what? She is not a wife if she is still bound to her father and her mother. She's not yet a wife. She's daughter. There are daughters that have become wife. Why? By reason of journey. Not because they became rebellious, but because they grew into ownership, into mastery, into a builder. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Into what? A builder. So, make sure you marry a wife. Tell your brother, say, make sure you marry a wife. Don't just marry a sister. Because she can be a sister, not a wife. Yeah, yes. You know, he used to play. He said, wife material, 100 yards. Yes, because some people are sisters, but they have not evolved into what you can use to make home. They have not evolved into what you can use to make home. Beautiful Christian sisters. But put them in the home. Ah, wala day. Trouble. You know, One of the things that is said in scripture is that there is nothing more heinous to a maid that is heir to her mistress. She is a maid, but she's heir to her mistress. That is an heinous thing under the sun. It's harsh. So they've not converted that soul to being a son, to being one who is the owner of the house, who is the manager of the house. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Is that okay? Yes. Thank you. Can we go to, verse 20? Yeah, for three things, the earth is disquieted, and for four, which it cannot bear. He said, three things, the earth is restless, the earth is disquieted, and four, it cannot bear, huh? For a servant when he reigneth, a fool when he's filled with meat. The treatment for fools is hunger. They become quiet. They become meek. But once the fool when she's filled with meat, an odious woman when she's married. Then an handmaid that is heir to her mistress. An odious woman. English, what's an odious woman? Eh? Amplify, say. Unloved woman. Can I get hope we are not wasting time. An extremely unpleasant or what? Repulsive. Have you seen women that used to kara? Oh, Jesus. By the time she marry, oh, Jesus. You see, somebody that has not known the word of authority shouldn't be given authority. Marriage is a high authority. Very high authority. He said, an odious woman, when she's married, if you give that privilege to that soul, Niwa, have you me seen in class, Emma? What is this? You need to respect me. It doesn't come cheap. To buy it in Lomun Street. I am Mrs. Adepegba. Read my lips. Adepegba. If you can't call it, then don't call my name. And very like her. Shoru kwa change kwa mbolani. She's a fool. Does he know that it's not the certificate that made you? It is what? Growth. You grow. If you have not grown, that thing doesn't do anything to you. It doesn't make you wiser. It doesn't make you smarter. It doesn't make you more in fact, the funny thing, by the time you start reading scripture, they still need to teach you how to love your husband. The thing that you feel that is butterfly, is you don't know what love is yet. You don't know what? You don't know what? They still need to teach you how to love even the person that you came into the marriage with. So I was saying that certificate doesn't make you a wife. Proverbs 31 says, beauty is deceitful. Beauty is vain, favor is deceitful. But what? He that feareth, the woman that fears the Lord, shall be praised. Look, when they are raising a wife, one of the training is how to be tender and caring. How to be what? Caring. How to be tender and caring. How to be loving. How to be accommodating. How to be what? Accommodating. Accommodating to people. Accommodating to people. Accommodating to people. Accommodating to people of various soul texture. Of what? Of various soul texture. Of various soul texture. Of various soul pattern. Because they are trying to raise an environment where the heritage of God can sprout. Can sprout. The heritage of God can sprout. Said, except the Lord build a house, the labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord watch over the city, the watchmen walk wicked, but in vain. He said, it is vain to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For God giveth his beloved sleep. Then he now said, children are the heritage of the Lord. Lo, the fruit of the womb is his reward. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not saying by any implication that everybody that has offspring has been raised of the Lord. No. But when a soul begins to enter a covenant journey with the Lord, God regulates everything about your life. One of the things I found out in this our community is that your life is not the same. Your life is what? It's not the same with everybody outside there. God regulates your life. I can bet it. Say, God regulates your life. So nothing natural happens by happenstance. Nothing. They regulate what comes to you and what does not. That's why we don't hustle. John chapter 7. Let me show you. I saw the scriptures years ago. I've preached it over and over. But John chapter 7, from verse 5 thereabout. Amen. Okay, now let's just read from verse 1 to 7 quickly. From verse 1. After these things, the Jews walked, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in the Jordan, because the Jews sought to kill him. Huh? Now the Jews' feast of Tabernacles was at hand, and his brethren said unto him, the path ends, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. Uh-huh. Verse 4. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, but he himself seeketh what? To be known openly. That's what his brothers were saying. Nobody does things codedly. You must show yourself. Show yourself. You understand it? Get platform. If thou do these things, show thyself what? Put it on social media. Put it on social media. Let everybody know. Put yourself out there. I remember I was discussing with a pastor friend that we're in Kebbi together, and we're just discussing. He said, oh, I said, yeah, what are you doing now? I said, I'm pastoring in Ikorodu. He said, oh, what's your social media? I said, we don't have. What's your YouTube? I said, we don't have. What's your this? He said, we don't. He said, and you're pastoring in 21st century. He said, you're pastoring in 21st century. You don't have, you're not online. He said, no. So, their WhatsApp status is for publicizing church. Twitter, Instagram, everything. She told me that be a 21st century pastor. Don't be like, I don't know where I will start with that, because I knew what was talking. Now look at, said, show thyself openly to the world, for neither did his brethren believe in him. Look at verse 6. Let Jesus' response. Then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come. But your time is what? I didn't hear you. He said, your own time is always, you can do anything at any time. Your own time is what? Always ready. Now, the next, said, why has my time not come? The world cannot hate you. That's why you can do anything at any time. You can do, if you want to start business today, carry it and start. Nothing. If you want to go jackpot to the carry, go, nothing. If you want to do anything, you can just wake up and do it. Because your life is not doing anything against the world. Your life is not what? Doing anything. He said, but me. Say me. Say, but me. You must know what pertains to you. He said, but me, it's hated. Why? Because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. You see, everybody that is holding the testimony and the gospel of Jesus must know what you are witnessing against. You are testifying against something. And because of that, rot, they are waiting for you. That's why you can't afford to do anything at any time. Your neighbor carry tomato and start selling. You used to say, in this Chinubu Jajino, somebody must be doing money to powder. And you do not carry something and put it outside. When Satan handle you, when they handle you, you will know that you just don't put anything anyhow. Jesus, Son of God, he knows. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He knew. He didn't just act anyhow. He acted. That is how the church in the wilderness operated. When the cloud stays, they stay. Because God was leading them through fairy wilderness where there were fiery serpents and scorpions and all manner of evil beasts. But as long as they were under that covering, nothing could hurt them. But if you say, we are staying here too long, you carry your DC. All those things that God kept away. That's why the teachings concerning divine presence, divine timing, cannot be erased from the church. You don't just carry things and do anytime. What is raining now is IT. No, it's actually AI now. AI. You will be very high, very well. Amen. Are you understanding me? Are you understanding me? Where was I before I came here? I didn't get you. Yes, I said nothing happens to us by happenstance. Our natural is regulated together with our prosperity in the spirit. That's why John can pray and say, I pray, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be enough, even as your soul. Why? Why? Say why? Ask me. Because everything has power. He said, all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of anything. So, everything has power. God will not expose you to something that you have beyond the measure of power that you have accumulated in your soul. That is his faithfulness. He will not allow you to be tempted above that which you can bear. So, God exposes you to the degree of the raising that has been raised in your soul. Because this everything has power. Say everything has power. Marriage, myself, has power. Marriage can kill you. What I say? The child that you are crying for, it can kill you. What I mean is that it can kill you. It can drain you of life. That you become empty. Pata, pata. That's why sometimes when you are waited for something, just say, God, build me. Help me to grow. Help me to grow. Help me to grow. I love that Eggie's prepared. Prepare me for that which you have prepared for me. Help me. Help. Because once I acquire the necessary raising. The doors will of themselves open of their own accord. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in. Lift up your head, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come. Say, who is this King of glory? He's the Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. He is the King. When statue appears, everlasting doors, ancient doors give ways. No, that is the faithfulness of God, that God doesn't want to expose you. You know, and this world craves for exposure. We want to just... And God says, you know, they walk like this. There's somebody that is in charge of this place. He said, no worry, just send me. No worry. No, just let me go. Tumile. Tumile, Baba. Baba, tumile. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. So I said, nothing happens to us by happenstance. Our natural, the measure of grace, especially for those who have been baptized into those waters. For everybody who is outside then. That's why you don't compare yourself with it. Can we stay up one another to good works? Yes. But we don't compare. Amen. Say amen. Amen. So I said, our natural doesn't, is regulated. And if you have not been raised, to manage the administration of what God brings our way, we will lose life, we will drain life, we will err. Amen. We will err. We will sleep. Praise the name of Jesus. Say amen. Are we blessed today? Are we blessed today? So, it's not only the wife that is raised, it's not only the woman that is built. The husband also is built. Are you understand what I'm saying? One of the things I see in our community is scripture pattern. Scripture pattern for children and household. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, here we said, it said the Lord build a house, the labor in vain that build it. It said the Lord keep a city, the watchman walk wicked but in vain. Said it's vain to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows. Many people is bread of sorrows they are eating. Bread what? Agbabolas. You understand it? So most of it is bread of affliction. Scripture says, they are laboring for the very vanity. You know what they mean to labor for what? For vanity. Then what they get? They will sow the wind. They will gather wild wind. Does God want us to work? Yes. But the rest of a laboring man is sweet. Because he's laboring for enduring substance. Things that does not pass away. Are you understanding it? When God is raising you, he's raising you in a labor for things that does not pass away. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That's why I said, don't lay your treasures where moth and rust doth corrupt. He said, but lay up your treasures in heaven. The treasures in heaven are one. Only one treasure in heaven. The thing undefiled, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. That is actually the only treasure in heaven. Are you understand what I'm saying? Yes, it's inheritance that is treasure. It's inheritance that is true treasure. Don't be deceived by all the street of gold, crystal sea. They are not trading precious stones there. Don't let your corruptible mind be interpreting incorruptible materials. And say, Kai, I'll not be rich in gold.
I'll be dealing gold.
So, some people, if God has not dealt with your loss, you carry the streets and melt it. God will just, they just sleep one night before money. He just said, all the streets, you know, the way they remove all the railings on the Third Mainland Bridge and just, they install it. One day, I saw one pedestrian bridge. Before the next day, they've removed all the poles, you know, pedestrian bridge, the rails, this side. Lagos boys have removed everything. I'm like, Jesus. Pedestrian bridge. Some souls are like that. If they get to heaven. Shalagabaka. Hey. They just sleep before they wake up. They've plundered heaven. They've plundered heaven. They've plundered because so. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. You know, that's why some people want to go to heaven. Even believers, pastors. Gold. God just say, Kai. Hey. I love a song that I think it was Frank Edward that sang it some time ago when we were in school. He said, if I get to heaven and it's God that the streets are not paved with gold and all of that, he said, Jesus is what makes it heaven for me. And I love that song because if you are not satisfied with Jesus, it's lust that is driving you. Even for heaven. The lust for, you know, sometimes because poverty has beaten us black and blue. So you are dreaming of heaven, but what you are dreaming after is actually riches. So when you get to Dubai, you say, this is heaven. You just get to Dubai, just Burj Khalifa, just Kal Khalika Karda. You see, gold plated car. So, what are we talking about? Gold, they are using Bentley for police car. You understand it? What else can a soul desire? But if Jesus is your satisfaction, you see all of it and you just shake your head. Vanity upon vanity. Hall. Is you know that the fashion of it passed away. Amen. So the soul is raised to it takes someone who is raised. I said, what makes a wife is raising? What makes husband? Say husband. Say husband. Can we say husband? Is raising. Two of them raised to. They are raising of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. They are the garden of the Lord that the Lord plants his seed. Are you understanding what I'm saying? They are what? They are the garden of the Lord that God plants. They are garden, raised. They are raising of faith. Raisings of what? Of faith. Buildings of faith. Buildings of love. Because that unit is as every husband is a pastor. Every what? Every husband is a pastor. It's a shepherd. Every wife is an under shepherd. All of you that say, I don't like minister, I don't like minister, I don't like minister, I don't like minister. I will never be a pastor. Shh. Why marry? I'll be you. You're a pastor. They may not. Oh. What makes you a pastor? You think it's anointing oil? It's the responsibility. Is what? Is the work. And what husbanding is working a shepherdic work. What wifing is doing is what? Doing a shepherdic work. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I don't like ministry. I don't like church. I don't like you're a believer in light. And you want to get married. Forget it. You're a pastor. In fact, what Pastor Dimitri said that every husband is a reverend. I mean, first saw that clip. And I loved it. I loved it somewhere. Yes. You're not even a pastor. You're a reverend. Why? Because of the qualification that God said you should walk in reverence. Is somebody that should walk in reverence. Amen. Let me just gather my thoughts together. We're talking about, it's actually children that brought us here. Amen. Now, say amen. 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 God is mindful of every seed he gives to us. He said, children are the heritage of the Lord. Lord, the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children. So are children of the youth. Say, as arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are the children of you, of the youth. Verse 5, let me just take that. Happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. He shall not be ashamed, but he shall speak with the enemies in the gates. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Say, as arrows. Say, as arrows. Say, as arrows are in the quiver of a mighty man, so are what? The children of the youth. You see, I think it's just not coincidental that we have to teach these things in around the time also that we are commemorating Children's Day. Because we, as we said before, children actually do not belong to us. Children what? That's what we must understand. That they are not meat. They are not nama. They are not biology. Say, you are not biology. No. You are essentially a spirit. You are what? You are essentially a spirit. And so, it is not the fertilization of the sperm and the ovary primarily that produced you. Let me say that again. Thank God for biology. Amen. Amen. Thank God for what? But it is not primarily the fertilization of what? The sperm and the ovary that what? Produced you. No. You are more than that. You are a thought in the heart of God. The Lord is the one that gives spirit to the fetus in the womb. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The parents provide body, and for that, God honors them. But the spirit, the body without the spirit is dead. Are you understanding it? I think it's in Psalm 139. Is it Psalm 139? Where David was asking. No, is it Job? I think it's Job. I think it's Job that was asking, who puts the spirit in the womb? Huh? Is it, please, can you get me that? 11:5, thank you. Let's see Ecclesiastes 11:5. Thank you. As thou knowest not the way of the spirit, how the bones grow in the womb of her that is with child, so dost thou knowest not all the works of God who maketh all. Now, amen. Say amen. You know when you slept with somebody, but you don't know when spirit was given. Are you understanding? You don't know when spirit was given. And without spirit, that seed is dead. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That seed is dead. Oh, Jesus. Say, he's a father of spirits. He's a father of spirits. He's a father of spirits. He's God that lightens every one of them. John chapter 1 says. Oh, Jesus. Job was the one that said, when we fall, the flesh returns to the dust, the spirit returns to God. I love the word return. I love the word return. So, the spirit came from God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Get me, Job? No. Okay. Thank you. Verse 6. Thank you. However, okay, thank you. Ecclesiastes 12. Go down. Amen. Then shall the dust return. That's after all the introduction Yeah, the conclusion of, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Well, the evil days come not, now the years draw not, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them anymore. Let's just jump to that verse 6. He said, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. So if it's returning, then it came from God. Are you understanding? It came from God. So it's not your children. It's not what? Say it's not your children. It is his. It is. You are administrators. You are governors and tutors to raise them to become what God intends. One of the very foremost dangers that we commit offense is to put our stamp of ownership on them. Are you understanding what I'm saying? One of what? The very first errors that we commit is to put our stamp of ownership. He is my. She is my. True. In a sense. It depends on the sense in which you are saying it. If you are saying it in a sense of custodial rights, okay. As one who is managing under God, okay. But sometimes parenting, you say it in the sense of all responsibility and fidelity is to you first. Sometimes we mumble tradition, culture together with word and come up with something that we don't know what it is. Am I saying we should not regard them? Bible says we should honor them. But you are not the owner. Amen. Now, let me just go a little further so that I don't overflow things. Everything that we see in the world, everything that we see around the world, the actual interpretation is found in the home. Do you understand what I'm saying? If the word is working, check the home. If the word is working and the home is failing, it is a lie. So, the home is the primary screen. I said primary. Primary screen where you check the effectuality of the word. The potency, the manner, the culture of the word is the home. First, that's the first place. Then the church, then the community. A minister said, when I hear a person preach, the next time I want to go and stay in your home. I want to see your conversation in the house. It is there I will now decide whether we can follow or not. If you have not seen a conversation in the house, don't be moved by speech of any revelation. That's wisdom of scriptures. That's what? Wisdom of scriptures. It is the home that we what? Show. Anything, any truth, any revelation. Home. You can't hide it. You can't what? You can't hide it. God is the way God be home. He will come out. I say he will come out. It will come out. It will come out. It will come out. Oh. You know, some brethren, some children are anointed. Everything that is remaining undead inside of you, it will come out. You know, you just be burning as a firebrand brother, firebrand sister, Holy Ghost talking, miracle working, serving God, blessing everybody. Amen. God bless you. Then, home happens to you. Amen. Say, what happens to you? God arranges family. That's why God does not intend for any one of us to be solitary. God does not what? Bible says he puts the solitary in families. Families. You see, this the way God does not expect anybody to grow out outside the structure of the home. That's why we have many dysfunctions in the society. People who were not raised, they've become parents. People who were not raised have become what? Parents. And I'm just afraid for the upcoming generation. Because when people who themselves are not raised became parents, they now gave the children the liberties in excess of what they had. Liberties in excess. You see some ways that some people, some things that they, some people are giving their children. They're like, what? That's why we need to pray for our children, no? Because these are the children of the people your children are going to mingle with in school. The people that your children are going to mingle with in school, they are people, some of them, their parents does not have anything wrong with homosexuals. And they will be in the same class together. They will talk together. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's not just church. So if you have not raised, you know, so one of these days, I was just thinking, I'll just say, God, you have to help us. Because it seems as if when God plants his own tree, Satan comes to plant his own tree very, very close by. I dare, I didn't want to do anything to do with AI. Just for them to come and put AI on my WhatsApp. I like it. Not by force. I don't want them to do the time three, four. I don't care. I just say them my day. They call say you. No, imagine they now reduce age for chat WhatsApp from 16 to either is it 14 or 15. I say very, very soon, our children will be, if we don't raise them quickly, at a very tender age, they must be wise enough to know what to choose. He said that Jesus, he said that he will eat butter and honey that he may know how to choose good and refuse evil. He said before the land which I brought is the post of our two kings, he will have known it. So, like our parents are teaching, sometimes by the age of 10, 12, sometimes 8, it may be too late for them already to start learning how to choose good and evil and refuse evil. Because they will plant things, choices before them. At a very time, some of us at 21, 17 don't know our left from our right. Then you now give a 10-year-old child liberties and say you have, in fact, abroad is not even 10 years. At 2 years, you can choose the sex. A 2-year-old child to choose the gender. Are you well? Are you well? You understand? So are you seeing how God must help to culture? So, in a sense, I'm not looking at God must have raised them incorruptible beyond temptation at a point where some of these liberties will be standing before them. So I must raise them not into the learning of Christ, into the teachings of incorruptibility early if they will not be swayed. If you are getting me, maybe it's only me. Maybe I'm. Satan likes planting his own tree beside God's own tree. So that he'll be able to tell you, if it's only God's tree, you hedge them. That's what he told Job. That's what he told God when God was talking about Job. He said, you hedged him. He doesn't have choices. Let's remove all those edges. Let's remove all those. Then let's now know whether truly, truly, truly. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Praise the name of Jesus. So children are to be beaten into weapons. Say weapons. Weapons, weapons, weapons of decimation against the kingdom of Satan. He said, as arrows are, an arrow, you beat an arrow into shape. You what? You beat an arrow into shape. You beat an arrow into shape. God must give us wisdom. Wisdom to raise this coming generation. You see, it's a task that is. Sometimes when I'm meeting my son, I'm like, it's not out of wrath, but an evil must not catch up with his soul. I don't know. I don't know how. You know, it's, Bible says, blessed is a man that his quiver is full of them. But sometimes I wonder, how do people do it? This one, I still want to be faithful over him. Are you understanding? Then some people will say, have six. If, come and lay hands on me. Come and lay hands on me. Now, I'm not saying you should. Please go ahead, fire for fire. I was watching, I saw a clip on the other day. A young lady, in, I think in the UK or the US, she has 14 already, and she says she still has about triplet on the way. Her life. One woman. He said he had twins, he had five, he had three. Three plus three plus five plus. I was like, even though many of them are not mindful of salvation, are you understanding? But it is good. What I'm saying is this: if you want to build a city, sit down first and count the cost. Sit down, what? Count the cost, not just money for pampers. The investment in life that Wesley's mom did it now. There were many, she's 17 or so. And she was able to tutor. So if you have the, but the issue is, don't go on that journey without knowing the cost. That's my own. Are you understanding? So I'm not saying don't give birth. Pastor Reverend Busu has taught us that most of you that are giving birth to one, two, say it's not faith that is doing it. You are just being economics, coming to blessing. Blessed is the man. Say, blessed is the man. Blessed is the woman. You are not responding to me now. Someone say, in this Tinubu administration, pampas is 10,000. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Are you blessed? Are you blessed? Don't be afraid of Tinubu. It's not Tinubu that gives us children. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. You must just come to a place in faith that you know that you are well taken care of. Hello? You are not the one that takes care of yourself. Did you hear me? Now I'm talking to those who are married, not the unmarried. For you, just focus on the Lord yet. Shetty Bummy. Yes, you're married. Focus on the Lord. Grow in the Lord. But for the married, be fruitful and multiply. Say amen. Say amen. If you are shutting that thing because of your career, God is looking at you. It was say two months ago that God was warning somebody, telling somebody, say, I've given it, I've opened it, you are shutting it. It was a tongue and interpretation here. So you know yourself, all of you, that you are shutting it. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think I'm getting playful. Let me serious up. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Say amen. Now, Colossians, amen. Say amen. Okay. Let me start with Titus. Let me start with Titus. We're talking about marriage, family, than the church and a community. The foundation of a sound family is a correct marriage in the Lord that is led by the will of God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You cannot trade that for anything. Once, I think it's if you get it right in marriage, you have 50% success already. But if you get it wrong, your hell can begin on it. Your what? Your hell can begin on it. So I need to say that again for the sake of our young ones. It's not as if all of you are set to get married now, but it is important to know that your choice is only in the Lord. And then in the Lord, He leads. He what? He leads. He leads. We'll still say it again. By God's grace, we'll be starting the series How to Be Led by the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord leads. Say, the Lord leads. The Lord leads. The Lord knows who you should get married to. Now, last week we made that clarification for the distinction of those who were did not know Christ or who have not grown in life before they got married. There's that liberty. We understand all of that. Amen. Now, in culturing an atmosphere, amen. Look at what Bible says. Titus chapter 1. Paul, writing to Titus, he said, from verse 5, for this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things which are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed. So, why did he leave him in Crete? To supply, to set in order things that are lacking. So, churches can be lacking things. Then God raise ministers to supply those things which are what? Lacking. Or things which are wanting to those churches. Without those things, they would not be able to move to the next allocation. Are you understanding? Now, Paul, who put Titus there, is now supplying Titus with materials he needs to fill up things that are wanting. Are you understanding it? Paul, who put Titus in charge of the church in Crete, is now saying, I am giving you resources. He's writing to him so that he would be able to administer things in places that are wanting. And let us read further, because we'll be reading quite a long read. He said, if any man be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for bishops must be blameless, as stewards of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, exalt and convince gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially day of the circumcision. Then he went down through to verse chapter 2. But speak thou those things that become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober. So, all of these things were things that were wanting in the church. Are you understanding it? All of these things were what? Things that were wanting. But they began addressing it from the family front. He didn't get it. Things that were wanting in church, they began to be addressing it of how a man behaves in his family. How a woman behaves in her home. How a servant behaves with the employer. But first, in the home front. So the interpretation of the gospel we preach is first revealed in the family. Are you understanding? The what? Interpretation of the gospel that we preach is first shown. That's why we said, read in that Timothy chapter 5 last week. Said, let them learn first to show piety at home. First. So this is primarily not just for bishops. It's for any man that desires the office of a bishop. And I think I will come there because sometimes we read it and we read it with pastors in mind or people in fivefold ministry. No, what it says is if any man desires the office of a bishop, these people are not yet bishop yet. It's the qualification for a bishopric. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And that qualification is found among the body of Christians. Now, there is nothing wrong with desiring the office of a bishop if it is the work that you are looking at. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There is what? 1 Timothy chapter 3. He said, this is a true saying. He said, it is a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A good, he said, it's a true saying. Not a good title. Not a good remuneration. Not good respect. It's a good work. If it is the responsibility, you know, it is the responsibility of an office that, I mean, of a team that should draw you. Some even want to get married. Not because of the responsibility of marriage, but because of the privilege of marriage. I want to be having sex. I want to be called Mrs. I want to be eating two meats. Do you understand? All manner of things. That is the reason why you want to get married. What? What if you marry for fairy? Do you understand it? You discover that there are many days that there is no even meat at all. Amen. And there are many quarters that. Amen. So if you desire the office, you desire work. Have you looked at the responsibility of that office that you are looking at? The same thing with that work. You know, some of us want promotion, but you don't know the responsibility of the officer. You want to become manager. Do you know what it means? You know what manager means? You are not looking at the work. You are looking at the pay. Eh? Or getting that 700,000. Ah. Look, promote me. Money means okay. Bring me the day. Family was okay. King Daniela. Oh, go. I am me. Lost. That's why you never get there. You didn't say amen. Amen. But if you desire the work, seest thou a man that is diligent in his works? He shall what? And not what? It is a principle. Seest thou a man diligent in his work? If you should desire responsibility. It's a good thing when a man looks at work and look at, and just desires to feel it. Since where work is deficient and it's just desires, he wants to cover up there. He's not looking at whether they pay him or not. He's doing that unto the Lord. And God says that this art is true. He just doesn't like things being let loose, lying like. So somebody, they've not, before they give you additional responsibility, that's not my job decision. That's not my job decision. Will you give my money? No. You're an hireling. Remuneration. You've not even performed anything to increase my money. Your effort has not even given the company any money. Kilo share. So the same with faith. The reason many people don't desire the office of a bishop is the responsibility. I can't be pastor's wife because you know there are many brethren. You just see your house. Hey! You know, it's the work that is chasing you. But when you see the honor, you don't mind it. But because you see the work, you say, hey, Mama Badua. I don't want pastor. I don't want to leave my family, my husband. Just laughing. You see, everything. Nobody disturbing you. Hey, only two of us. You know, we go on vacation. Yes. Oh, you're on time. Amen. Oh, you're is telling you. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Am I preaching well today? So, I'm saying, he's not just writing to bishops. He's writing to people who desire responsibility. So, it's a true saying. Anybody who desires responsibility. But, so, the home is where they train you with the arsenal to be able to undertake responsibility. Are you understanding? They train you how to wear responsibility. Train you how to wear responsibility. The pre-qualifications, the way your soul has to be positioned. Not just responsibility in the natural, responsibility in the spirit. How to be a weight. So, one of the reasons why the church is weak is because the families are weak. Because a life that should be manifested in the home is absent. You have many things saying, but a conversation is missing. Are you understanding me? Praise the name of Jesus. So, Titus, Timothy, Paul began. Let's just read that Timothy. Amen. It seems he was writing to bishop and deacons here. But you see that he's not really, really talking to bishops and deacons. Yes, it's true of bishops and deacons, but it's actually true of families because it is from there that you will raise people who will also lead the church. Amen. Look at what it says. Amen. Look at what it says. From that Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3. So this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desire a good work. A bishop then must be blameless. Husband of one wife. Vigilant. Are you seeing that? Say vigilant. Say vigilant. Say vigilant. You see some men, they don't have eyes. They don't have what? Where that something is done here? No, no. No watchfulness. Not in the spirit, not in the natural. Not what? Not detail. They don't have eyes for details. They don't have what? Eyes for details. No. You are a man. You should have eye for details. I don't mean you should be critical. That's not what I said. You can have eye for details and you are not critical because you have largeness of heart. Because it is narrowness in the heart that makes you have eye. When you have eye for detail, you become critical. But when you have eyes for details and you have largeness, you become a merciful high priest. You'll be able to, you are compassionate. You can be touched with the village of infirmity and you can have mercy and compassion on them that are ignorant and out of the way because they've tempered your heart. Now, many of us are not raised correctly. So we don't even know it's an infirmity. Because it doesn't appear like a character from Ingale now. You just don't have eyes for detail. But it is wrong. You are not vigilant. You don't have eyes that sees. Because you are the bishop of your house. Or you will be the bishop of your house. So, vigilant. Sober, of good behavior, giving to hospitality. Hospitable. So, you know that hospitality is not even the primary responsibility of wives. You know, some men, if wife is not at home, Madame Osinle. It's Abraham that went to go and kill this thing, and it was even his suggestion. Please come in. It was not, Sarah was not there. So you say, because you're a man, you don't know how to do kitchen things. Oh no, oh bad God. Oh bad God. My mom will always say, thank God she's here. Say, know how to do it. Whether you will use it or not, know how to do it. Because the day you will need it, you will not be stranded. Know how to do it. Giving to hospitality. Giving to hospitality. Giving to hospitality. You see, it was Abraham's action that actually welcomed angels into their house. Sent some brothers to the market. Oh, Jesus. Tell them to pick up a gift item for somebody. Hey. Error. Then later Iran said, how won't the wife suffer? You can't be romantic. Do you understand it? He said, it's my sister that used to do all those things. Hey, Renwe. They will marry. Some people don't know color. Yeah, you may not have PhD in it. You may not know onion green and purple and tomato red you may not know all of those, but at least know basics. Know what? Sisters, am I saying the truth? No basics. That's not my thing. That's not my thing. You turn everything to a boju. Of good behavior, giving to hospital, apt to teach, apt in teaching, quick to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, he's not greedy of material gain, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth his own house well. Ruleth his own house, having his children in what? Subjection with all gravity. Look at verse 5. For if a man knows not how to rule his own house, how shall he what? And you see, the prerequisite for church is home. If a man does not know how to rule his own house well, how will he be able to handle the church of God? So, if the church, if the home is not sound, the church will be faulty. Because the church is a larger conglomerate of souls. Amen. Amen. One who ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. So he raised them with gravity. He taught them how to be grave, not frivolous, not erratic, not superfluous. Amen. Not naughty, grave. You know, children can be grave. Children can be what? Grave. Subjection. Because naturally, foolishness is there. But I'm not saying it's both presence and discipline. You raise them with presence. Last week we were talking about raising them in the way. It's both presence and discipline by the Spirit to raise gravity in the soul. Because that is how the church of the living God also will be raised. Are we blessed today? Sorry, we are still laying foundation. Hope we are good. He said, not a novice. So, wait. So, if he's not supposed to be a novice, that means he must have been trained. Is that not so? So, even as a husband, they don't expect you to be a novice. That means you must have been trained. How did you train? As a son under a father. You have been trained. So God does not expect you to use somebody's daughter as teaching practice. No, it's Obad. Remember, no, somebody's daughter as teaching practice. No, see, it's only a fool that learns from his own experience. A wise man learns from the experience of others. Then you use your home as teaching practice. No. That's why they said in that Titus that he is also a man that holds the, how they put it again? Sorry. Mystery of faith. Holding fast the mystery of faith. Of holding fast the faithful word, rather, as he has been taught. So he's one that was taught. He's teachable. One lay bawi ole boro. Ye man, cause anybody to lay bawi. Somebody who is not under authority should not use authority. If you have not been under authority, the centurion said, I'm a man under authority and I have people under me. That is it. You, there is nobody that bear with, then you want to be pashe. Bible said, why am I in jow? Because you don't know how it feels. If they've talked to you harshly before, you know how it feels when you talk to somebody harshly. So you be temperate. You be compassionate. But some people, nobody has been, they are the ones that are always pashe. Not a novice. Please, sisters, let me beg them. Don't use somebody's daughter as teaching practice. No. Koda. Lokbeko. Go and receive learning. If you don't know where to learn, say, tell God to send you to where you will learn. Tell God to send you to where you learn. Amen. No, I'm saying the truth. Because some of the things that some of us have learned. If heaven leaves us the way we are catastrophe waiting to happen. Catastrophe. The guy does do business. I think I don't say to marry now. Because he has little change and can afford a house. Next thing now to marry now, I just find one small girl. Yes. This thing is that we change to her. Yeah, I don't know. Yes, it will soon change. You know, marriage seems to be the only institution that people don't actively train for. There's no training for. Especially in a society with many dysfunctional homes. You see, I think I said last week, one, that the baby was sick. The mother was crying. As the mother was crying, the father too started to cry. When baby is sick, women can throw a fit. As the woman was praying, just confused and everything, as she was going, amen. No, it's real life. You know that this one is a novice. Nobody prays for a conversion, but Omo converts this luxury. Jesus, how did you marry? How? Some they've not seen blood before.
I said, you don't want. And by the time you see them share revelation in church, oh. Thought generator. Say novice. Novice. Help your sister. Your sister is this thing. Even to help a woman with menstrual pain. I don't know. I don't know anything. I'm not a woman. So because you are not a woman, they now take all the knowledge. They slap your face in the spirit to just help a woman having cramps. Yes, we say that women should not but if you have lived in a house with sisters, you know how it is done. You would have known how it is done, how to help. So you just look at your hair. Well, so what will happen now? I don't know anything. Sisters, please, don't just marry anybody. Some people, if you marry them, you go to carry them for head. Amen. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. We'll preach that in context of this thing late, some other time. Moreover, he must have good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and a snare of the devil. You see? Two snares there. Not a novice, lest he be lifted up with pride. Then he have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach also. And what? The snare of the devil. Amen. Likewise, must Dickens be grave, not double-tongued, not giving much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Let this also be proved, and let them also use the office of deacon be found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. So it was not just the husband that they are talking to. They talked about women too can be grave. Women too must learn not to slander. Amen. Sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be husband of one wife, ruling their own children and their houses well. Are you seeing? They talk about children and house or children and household. Children and household. So you see that in the waters, every man has an household. It's not just the children that are biological children. You have a household, and they expect you to rule everyone well. Are you understanding it? To rule well. Because there must be no schism. If there's schism between your children and household, there will be schism between in the body. Some people, they have children, they have housemaid. The way they treat them is not the same. Some is children and brethren. There is just that affinity or preference. That thing is satanic. You won't know it. You can even justify it in many ways. That thing is satanic. It's satanic. It's devilish. It's sensual. Amen. What makes you prefer your own? You have already created schism in the body. You have already created soul division in the body. Everyone is one. Jesus said he broke the middle wall of partition. He made the twin one. One new man. So one of the dealings that the Lord must, you see, all of those trainings in the house, our brethren come, the way you treat them. Sometimes, some of you even have brethren, you don't have biological children yet. You must see them as your spring, as you will your own child from your own bosom, because it's church of the living God. Sometimes with every right and privilege, you will bequeath to your biological son. Sometimes you say, that thing that always pushes. Sometimes it is your soul, the soul trying to escape the dealing of the Lord. Let it be that it is your desire to do it. There's no resources. And you are trusting God. Then wheresoever it comes from, it's an answer to your prayer. But don't let it be that you say that this one, they still have Igile Yongba and all of this. Ele, there's no other person. Don't budule, you're already sowing discord. Every one of them belongs to me. And I desire God. I'm trusting God. God will enlarge us to such a place where we will be abundant towards everyone. Are you understanding me? That thing is satanic. It's satanic. To just focus on your own is selfish. You know, we have some unbelievers that they have housemaid though. They don't know them from Adam. Yet it's the food that the children eat in the school. They eat. It is the school that the children attend that they attend. It is the clothes that the children wear that they wear. In fact, the children knew them as auntie, uncle. They don't call them by name. Do you understand? They knew them as their elder brothers, unbelievers that don't have faith. Yet, you said, this is our thing. No. God must purify our hearts. God must what? Purify our hearts. Where I accept all of the people that joins, one of the commandments that the Lord gave to the children of Israel, that every stranger that joins himself to you, once he has joined himself to you, you must not put him away. You must not put him away. You must not. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. He said, those that use the office of a deacon well shall purchase themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, these things write, I write unto thee, hoping to come to you shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how to what? Behave thyself in what? The house of God. So, he's talking about family. He's talking about house of God. So, your conduct within the home is actually your conduct in the house of God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, one of the things that God must do for us, God must raise solid homes. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Solid homes where the way of truth is taught. Because, say amen. That way, the laying of the way is actually the raising of the house. It's actually the raising of the house where the principles that governs life is actually the way of God. You see a couple that they are living by the way, the judgments of the way of truth. Judgments of the way of truth. Judgments of the way of truth. Amen. So let's go back to that Titus. So I was saying that he started with the deacon in chapter 1. Then talking about to Titus about things to supply things which are lacking. Amen. Are we together? Talking to Titus about supply of things which are lacking. He talked to bishops first. Then he said they must be apt to teach. I mean, holding the faithful word, verse 9, as he has been taught, that he may by sound doctrine both be able to exhort and then convince gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers, deceivers, especially of the circumcision, whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert all houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of them, even a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars. Evil be slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound and faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn men from the truth. Unto all things, truth. So, you see that? Say amen. Amen. Two things that the home is raised is to uphold the way of truth, then the law of truth. Are you understanding it? The way of truth. Uphold the way of truth. And then hold. Those are the two things that you are raised to defend. As a man, as a woman, as a husband, as a wife, you are a defender of what? The way of truth and the law of truth. Are you getting me? Are you getting me? You are not just a wife. to give birth to children. No. You are doing something. You are doing something. Let's read down. These people turned, the commandment of this force turned people from the way of truth. Then said unto the pure things are pure, unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but their evil mind and conscience is defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work, what? Reprobate. So, God expects that when we know him, we are fruitful in every good work. Amen. Then, to chapter 2, now says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged man be what? Sober. Grave. The same thing, something similar to the things he began to talk to him, 1 Timothy 3. That the great eight men be what? Sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. Eight men to be sound, sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, sound in charity, sound in patience. That's how they measure age in the spirit. Are you with me? He said, aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as what? Becometh holiness, not accusing falsely. Are you hearing me? Not accusing falsely. So, one of the things that the Lord expects, find out what the ungbogbo daju, like Yoruba, kiosi dio titomu. How does the English say it? Eh? Eh? Search out that which is good and hold fast to the truth. So you must be swift to hear, but in everything that you hear, you must filter it on the screen of truth. Hello? You must what? One responsibility that we have always. That's why they said, be swift to hear, slow to speak. The difference between, the distance between swift to hear and slow to speak is judgment. Filtering what you have heard or what you have seen on the screen of truth to hold fast. So, it's not everything I hear or see that I hold fast to. I throw, many of it you discard. Sometimes you can hear 1,000 things. It's only one that is useful. And sometimes none of it is even useful. That's what you do in harvest. When you harvest, you beat wheat. You get both the seed and then the chaff. What do you do to the chaff? You throw it away. But the seed. But you go through all of that labor just for the seed alone. So, one responsibility we have is to filter. Say filter. Everything we hear or see on the screen of truth. And hold fast to that which is true. Are we understand what I'm saying? So, you are not reactive. You are not what? And you are not what? You don't jump, you don't come into conclusions without not even facts. Because truth is not fact. Truth is not fact. You see, God will raise us. These are the things that God wants to raise. He said, do. These are the things. These are judgments we must come into. That will become a door for us. He said, yeah, you may likely should be in behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be what? Sober. To love their husbands. To love their children. Amen. Are you hearing me? Somebody said some time ago, I know we have said it before, that the secret of a home is for couples to love themselves. Sometimes when issues arise, in foolishness, we turn love towards the children. We don't know that we destroy them more. You can never truly love a child if you don't love their parents. In fact, it is in loving parents, in spouses loving themselves, that wealth of love pours. You will spoil them if you hate or despise. Bible says, he that loveth, he that begat, loveth he that is begotten. So they do, you don't love he that is begotten. No, you love he that begat. Then you love he that is begotten of him. Are you understanding? So that's the same thing with Jesus. He said, you love the Father, then I cannot not love you. So the principle is the same. Teach to love your husband. I've seen many women, probably because of this thing, they focus love on the children. Sometimes I just read on my status. You know, women know how to put all of those things, especially when there's a problem. You just say, now I'm just living for my own peace of mind and my children and all of that. I just like, you have not been taught. You have not been taught well. If you have aged women who had oversight over you, you will not be in error like this. It's a temptation. Even for spiritual people like us. Sincerely, is what? Is a warfare to take your eyes from your child and put it on your husband. Sincerely, it's warfare. Sometimes, you know, those little children, they are innocent. But your husband, your wife, oh Jesus. How many married women, how many of your husband have enjoyed you as made you cry very well? You don't want to. God bless you for your sincerity. All of them are deep boy. He's every one of us. And they make her cry very well. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm not proud of it. It's not something that we do. It's not something that we do deliberately. It's not something that we do deliberately. Please get it. It's not something that we do joyfully. But we don't know. I think it's only me that I mean that. No, you know me, I'm a rascal. You are just, you are quiet. Even your piety speaks from 1 kilometer away. But me like this, I'm a rascal. We are rascals. Because I don't know. Sometimes, God just have to forgive us. Amen. God just have to what? Forgive us. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. What I'm saying is this, that if God doesn't have mercy upon us, what they would have thrown our exam script away. But this one, I know that is an apostle. And where's that sister? I know that. Look at, they are even to match. Pink. It can be. It couldn't be. Sister, I don't care, Abby. It couldn't, can't. He says he's an only man. She said, he's an only man, Abby. Amen. What I'm saying is this. It is. Please don't give up on us. Am I saying our prayer? Am I saying our plea? Can we say, please don't give up on us? Help us beg. Please don't give up on us. Help us to beg now. Amen. Praise God. Are we blessed today? To be discreet, chaste, keep us at home. Good. Obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Obedient to their own husbands, because they are corrected at all times. Obedient to their own husbands, because what they demand is always convenient. Answer me now. Obedient to their own husbands. Why? So, you know, a wife is one who has been raised with regard for the word of God. So the reason why she's staying is not because the man is perfect. It's because of regard for the word of God. It's regard for the word of God. So she's raised. You wanted to go and pick wife because she's pancake and she knows how to cook. You saw figure eight. But you don't know, you have not seen regard for the word of God. Look, when problem come with our cooking and our pancake and our figure eight, when they show you pepper, you desire to live in village. You desire to live in village. You'll be looking for peace of mind everywhere. Sincerely. But one who has regard for word will look beyond your imperfection. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Look beyond your imperfections and just look at the word. Say, I love you. Not because of anything, but because I respect the word of God. And the word commands me to do so. I'm following this, not because I'm persuaded that there's no better choice, but if this is what you have done, if this is what, and I respect the word of God, I'm sticking with it. I'm sticking with it. Not because you're always right, but because I've been commanded so. I said the Lord will raise us. That the word of God be not what? Blasphemed. The young man likewise exhort to be what? Sober-minded in all things, showing a pattern of good works. Colon. They now started. First, in doctrine. Say, young men. The first place where you need to earn degrees, doctrine. Are you hearing me? The first place where you need degree, doctrine. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. They are listing it. First, in doctrine. You should grow. A young man, they are chasing you to hear what? Business in Shani. Business Shani. Kole farabale, the word, or the very home. In doctrine, showing what? Uncorruptness. Then you have the one that is hearing. But Abuja Leni, Loko Jalola, winds of doctrine. Every man of God, they follow for YouTube. Every man of God, they follow for YouTube. Sister, wait. Uncle Jubri, sit down here. Which one exactly are you doing? Which one what? You are just carried away. Every amulumala, every wind of doctrine, every, you are not bejesimiko. You see, staying with doctrine is a training for stability of the soul. Because it's the same soul you are marrying. So when the soul cannot endure the discipline of training of doctrine, he cannot endure discipline of staying with you. It's the same soul. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He said, in doctrine, showing what? Showing uncorruptness, gravity, and what? Sincerity. So, are you seeing things? Uncorruptness, gravity, and what? Sincerity with truth. Gravity in handling the word and conversation of life. So this person is not simple, it's not light. It's not shallow. It's not frivolous. When you see a young man that is frivolous, you know that in conscience, he's sick somewhere. He's sick somewhere. There is no gravity. When you see persons that have that are grave, you see weight. You see what? Weight. Gravity is weight. That's what keeps you from being puffed up. Is it not gravity that keeps us on the ground? Science student, answer me. It's gravity that keeps us on the ground. Otherwise, you'll have float up like puff puff or balloon. Hang my wind that might be a kakiri. Do you understand it? So gravity is weight. Are you hearing me? Gravity is weight. Weight. It is also called farabale. Farabale. Let your body touch ground. You know, you just some people are just itchy. The body no touch ground. Anything, gun business, and it's a problem of haste. Sometimes it's a problem of haste. The body no touch ground. Sometimes they need to imprison you for a season. Imprison you under the will of God for a season where they don't allow you to do anything. You just sit down there. You go to God, sit down. Go to God. Ah, just wait for me. Wait. And you're like, ah! Until everything that then you now learn to be grave. You learn to be what? Grave. That word grave is like the word grave. Silent. There's no activity. Are you understanding it? There's what? No activity. You need to be grave. Silent as the grave. Sometimes it's busy. You know, a man can be busy trafficking. Jaman, calculation. He's here. You are too sporadic. You are too spontaneous. Sometimes you are too calculated. You are too logical. They need to quiet you. Not only in mind, also in body. Sometimes you are. They need to say gravity. You now need that gravity in doctrine around the waters of the world. You don't hastily conclude or push doctrine. A person that can wait for word to break what? He can do what? He can wait for the word. These scriptures, I'm still waiting. Ofe wole, but oripe futi yo ko sound ogbese pada. What happened? I'm still waiting. You will be gentle with your emotions. But at your even when you're on the bed, that's how you do bow, 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 bow. Yes. Amen. Say gravity. It's an admonition to young men. Hope I'm not preaching out of point today. Some people have become quiet on me. That's why I'm like. I just said, let me take feedback. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. What I'm trying to show us is this. These are places where the church was missing it. Then they said, put elders so that they will ensure that these places are blocked. Because as long as these places, there are loopholes there, forget, you're not going anywhere. Forget it. You are not what? Going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. This incorruption that we're talking about, we'll see it very soon. That it is in the hope of incorruption that they were talking to them to mend everything which is lacking. The things, supply the things that are wanting. It is in hope of incorruption. So if we now think that we will come into incorruptibility and the home or marriages, families are not sound, we are deceiving ourselves. Children must be sound. Husband sound. Wife sound. Arms solid. Solid. And how? They will begin to show. They will begin to show you, every one of us, where we are missing it. What is wanting? What is wanting? That which is lacking. In my mind, I've just been praying for mercy. Because ever since the Lord said about this door, I just knew in my spirit that something is around. And unless we find the mercy of the Lord to rectify, to align properly with the intent of God, we will circle round this mountain and circle, but we'll not be able to move forward in the spirit. Amen. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. Sound what? Speech that cannot be condemned. You see the measure of a young man now. Are you seeing the measure of a young man? Sound speech. That there is no, they can't find a fault with what you say. No, this is a line. This is a plummet that they used to measure. Just by the time they raise this one, just many of us have found one thing. Kukute. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That I will say word in 1 hour, one day. Everyone won't find a fault with it. Men won't find a fault with it. Ah! You have not even said 2 words. Ten offenses. Error, OP. Everywhere. Before you open your mouth, before you even open, error has flown out. But say sound speech. The same thing was written to Timothy in that second Timothy. Say, be an example of the believer. In what? Faith. In doctrine. In what? Conversation. That's Timothy what? 1 Timothy 4. Thank you. Let no man despise thy youth, but be an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. In purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So it says, sounds of speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of a contrary path may be ashamed, having no what? No evil thing to say of you. Having what? You know, when you just see this line, is a Daniel. Say Daniel. Daniel. When those that were contrary, when they look for occasion against him, they found, I'll say what? They found none. None. Then they now told themselves, you know, concerning this guy, we will not find any evidence, eh? Except it be in the law of his God. So, to find fault, they had to create a ground for fault. They had to go and find, meet the king. Create a law that nobody should pray to anybody. Because in that one, we know that it won't change. You didn't get it. It is unchanged. That guy is an everlasting man. As they knew that he would not change in the law of his God. It was on that premise that they created the offense. You know, when you just read this, you know, every one of us, especially me, a failure, paraku. Are you understand? You know, can Satan know that? You see, the only ground which he will not fail is that he can never disappoint God. Anything that God says, he will do it. It's not Daniel that was vouching, no. It's Satan that was vouching for him. Because those children were children of Satan. They were the one that like, look, in this matter, we know. We know that you can't get a fault from him. He's a man that will not turn for anything. Now, God expects us to be in character like that. Then you're a young man. Irocola. If he says, good afternoon, you go and check outside. You go and check to be sure that it is really, because when he says it, he says naturally, human jade without, do you understand it? Human jade without. Now he said it's revelation, grace, you know, grace. No. No. You're not going anywhere. Sound speech. This sound speech is not even truth. You know, speaking the truth to yourself in love is this, not it. Is the speech is sound. It's not about the correct accuracy of information. It's about alignment. Spirits can't fault it. It's not as if you lied or you said something that is false. But the word that you said is sound. You know, when they say something is sound, it's not, that sound is not sound though, it's not sound. That sound is a measure of accuracy in the spirit. That's what they call sound doctrine. Sound speech. Is sound there is that it echoes the heart of God. Sound mind. So when they use sound there, it's not anything that is trivial. That sound is a measure in the spirit. That, so he said, your speech should be seasoned with salt, always with grace, that it may minister grace to the hearers. So a speech that has been seasoned with salt will now grow to become sound. Sound speech. Sound speech. When you have your mouth is filled with sound speech, you'll be sounding in the heavens. Sound speech, which cannot be condemned. So those that are on the contrary will not have any evil thing to say of you. Then say, exhort servants to be obedient. So what I'm saying is this. Before we go into the public, like that, all of these things, are things, trainings within the home. Trainings in the home. What the home should groom a man for. That's why Satan attacks the home. Because you know that even if God has to do a work of reconstruction, it will take time to restore the desolation of many generations. To restore the paths to dwell in. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Like we said last week, marriage is not a social construct. Say marriage is not a social construct. The family is not a social construct. It is something in the heart of God. Let's see Ephesians chapter 6. Maybe in the next time when God gives us allowance to treat this, we will start going into the church and the community, if God permits us. But let's just move a little. No, we are looking at marriage, the family, church, and then the community. Hallelujah. Because all of it is twined into how we have our conversation. Amen.
Amen.
Are we blessed today?
Yes, sir.
Are we tired?
No, sir.
Ephesians. Praise the name of Jesus. Say amen.
Amen.
Are we blessed?
Yes, sir.
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 Are we blessed?
Yes,
thank you. Thank you. Glory to your name, Jesus. Okay. Thank you. Okay, before we go to Ephesians, let's see Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Are we blessed? Colossians chapter 3 began to talk about seek the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your affection of things above, not on things on earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Said, when Christ, whose life shall appear, we shall also appear with him in glory. Said, to mortify our members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is also idolatry. So for which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometimes when ye lived in them. But now put ye off also this anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. Ye feel the communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have what? Put off the old man with his deeds. Amen. And ye have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Then he now said, verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Say bowels of mercies. Are we together? Maybe we should do, if you're happy and you know, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know, and you really want to show. If you're happy and you know, clap your hand. If you're happy and you know, jump up. If you're happy and you know, jump up. If you're happy and you know, and you really want to show it. If you're happy, you know, you jump up. Hallelujah. Can we have our seats? God bless you. Amen. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. It's good to hear word. It's good to do what? So he said, put ye on therefore as elect of God. This say amen. Holy and beloved, bowers of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and what? Say, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also what? Forbearing. Say forbearing.
Forbearing.
And forgiving. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. But what do you need to come here? Bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and what? Long suffering. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness, meekness, and long suffering. Amen. Forbearing one another. And what? Forgiving one another. Say, forbearing one another. And forgiving one another. You know, every one of us wants someone that will not hurt us. Is that not so? You want somebody that will not hurt you. You say, I like that guy. He can't hurt a fly. Even if mosquito is, he just said, yeah, suck here. Yeah. Suck. Oh, I like that place. He can't hurt a fly. Should I shock you? He might not hurt a fly, but he will hurt you. Why am I talking like this? He might not hurt a fly, but he will hurt you. I'm not trying to make marriage look dreadful. No, it's beautiful when you are salvation-minded. But if you want to please your own self, you'll be hurt. If the goal in your heart is self-satisfaction, you will die. But when you're salvation-minded, oh, it will be a sweet-smelling offering that is savourable before God. Amen. Now, he said, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man hath any quarrel against any, if any man hath what? Any quarrel against any. As what? That means, he didn't say when. He didn't say, so it is not compulsory that quarrels of it, but there is a possibility. Is that not so? If is a possibility, not a certainty. Is that so? If is a possibility, but not a certainty. That means you can have it without quarrel. Is that not so? If any man hath any quarrel against any, as Christ forgave you, forgive. You know? You know that Christ has forgiven us. Christ has forgiven us. He's just looking for repentance. Do you understand it? But for forgiveness, he has forgiven us. Amen. So, Christ expects you to forgive us like that. He said, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule your hearts, to the which ye are also called in one body, and be what? Thankful. Let the peace of God rule your heart. Rule your hearts. Let it govern your heart, to the which you are also called, and be thankful. Then said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Then he said, wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as it is fit in the Lord. Why am I saying all of these things? These are the exercises that predate submission. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, long-suffering, forbearing, forgiving, having the bond of charity, staying in the peace of God, allowing the word of God to dwell with you in all wisdom. Now, because it takes spirit to obey this commandment. Check Ephesians also. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Check Ephesians. He won't start talking about the issue of submission until you are ghosted to the teeth. Because flesh and blood cannot keep these laws. Am I talking to somebody? Flesh. You will revolt. There is a measure of apprehension. What I'm trying to show you is this. Every person, every wife, every husband must be Holy Ghost man. Your house must be Holy Ghost center. Otherwise, the laws, you won't be able to keep the laws of truth. You won't be able to keep it. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If the word of Christ is not in you rich, abundant, you will snap at some stages of submission. You will snap. In fact, the degree to which you are submitted is the degree to which the word of God and the spirit of God has been given right of way. You know, it's the same thing is said in Ephesians. Let's see the Ephesians passage. Hallelujah. What I'm saying is this. All the ghost that is giving us is for something. Let's see. Ephesians chapter 5. Say amen. Amen. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourself. Are you seeing it? Here, he didn't mention let the word of God, but he also talked about being filled with the Spirit. Amen. But Colossians said, above all things, have put on charity, which is the bond of perfection. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you are called, and into one body, and be thankful. Now, said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. Then he said, wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as it is fit in the Lord. Ephesians says, amen. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as the Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in air. Now, this is death. I don't know any woman that has fulfilled this, but if a person will dare, you know, it's two commandments there. Are you understanding? You know, it's two commandments there. He first said submit. Is that not? Then he now says subject. Submit and subject are two different things. Amen. Go back to verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto what? Your own husbands as unto the Lord. Voluntary. Say voluntary. Willfully present yourself to the Lord. Then, verse 23 and 24. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And what? Savior of the body. So, because of the work of salvation, or in prosperity of the work of salvation, therefore, as the church is subject, not submitted now, subject, say subject. Subject. Now, anybody who is not ghosted and warded, when they say warded, is not filled with the word of Christ, not just filled with in all wisdom. Can never do this one. As the church is subject. Ah! You know, he didn't say as the church will be subject. Because the church is not presently totally submitted to Christ. Are you understand what I'm saying? But the church is subject to Christ. You didn't get it. The church is not totally submitted to Christ yet. But the church is subject to Christ. And that subject is also where we get subjective leading. Where against your will, sometimes they, I don't want to use the word subject, subject you to processes and conditions that your opinion is not sorted. Are you understanding? And you stay within the bounds of that subjectivity or that subjection. So that, therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let us be to their own husbands in everything. Now, I don't think I know any husband that would joyfully take this. It's a fearful thing. But that is a fearful thing. It was years ago, about 3 years ago, when the Lord was still. He said, when a church gets to this place, I can kill for them. He said, when a woman gets to this place, I become an adversary to the adversaries. He said, I can kill the husband. Yes. It's not man that told me, it's the Lord Jesus that told me. He said, I can kill for the sake of this one. He said, because, you know, sometimes you feel like, God, let this. He said, hey, you don't know what you're asking for. You don't know what you're asking for. Because if you deal with this, a woman that is here, lightly, go and ask Moses. I say, God can meet with you to kill you. This place. When women, the church gets here, God becomes an adversary to the adversaries. Because they have come under in all things. It's a fierceness. And that is how the husband also should be toward the wife. You know, was it last year or 2 years ago that Baba Deboyo, Baba was saying that, you know, you can say anything against me, you can abuse me, you can hate me. He said, but if you touch my wife, he said, I will so kill you that even heaven, even in the world to come, they will reject you. That thing came from somewhere. That thing came from what? Somewhere. That woman that is following that man is dead. I said, that woman that is following that man is what? Dead. What a pattern, forgotten, dead. I remember one example. Maybe, probably the only example I know. Bishop's wife, Bishop Edepo's wife, went to camp to report the husband that the husband has not been coming home. He sleeps in the office. It's been days now. What? Then Mama Folu looked at her. He said, you are still even seeing your husband. He said, my own. It's weeks. Weeks. They are in the same camp. He didn't travel for administration. For the sake of the work, they have been imprisoned. Denied their... So, even if she doesn't talk, if the man says one word, I pity some of the people that talk against pastor's wife because of the things that they have borne for the sake of the gospel. Then the Lord told me, so I became afraid. Some people, their anointing is not that they stand on the pulpit and preach. Is that they just took a position, a posture of art. That posture of art, if they cry to God because of you, if they cry to God because of you, if they cry, if they shed one tear, wherever, into the, just know that you are done for. They didn't even open mouth. They just shed a tear. So when scripture is telling women to keep, to be subject and keep quiet, you think it's a disadvantageous position. Rara, it's a place of high strength. It's a place of high authority. Because there is not you that fight again. It's not what? It's not you that fight. It is the Lord. It is what? The Lord. So the Lord that is saying subject is not repressing women. No, is not making them subservient. No, is for the prosperity of light and showing that how the church will actually become when she has become subject to Christ in all things. Then Christ will be all in all. Then God can really have his way. You know, God cannot really have his way. God cannot even defend us like he wants to defend us now. Because in a sense, all of us are also wife. Are you understanding? As the church to Christ. But when the church becomes subject to Christ fully, I mean, cooperates with that subjectivity, you will now see God arise on the behalf of the church like never before. Sincerely. So all this nonsense women advocacy, all this, they are just Satan's shortcut to rob us of true privilege. Sincerely. Satan's shortcuts. Equal right. I know some men too are foolish out there, but I don't believe they are amongst us. Some men are very, very foolish. How will you raise your hand against a woman? How will you? There are some things that are just not worthy. Not worthy to be said. It's even a shame to even think about it, let alone do it. It's a shame. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So we're looking at Colossians, right? Amen. So whatever, wives, submit yourself to your own husband as his feet in the Lord. Husband, love your wives and be not what? Don't be bitter. Don't be bitter. God will make healing. You see, one of the things Satan wants to plant in out of spouses is bitterness. Say bitterness. Now the mistake of person where you love, now in the pain pass. No be so. Yes. The thing they enter body. And sometimes when we are not careful and we are not quick in forgiving, bitterness springs forth. Bitterness what? Springs forth. I love the word spring forth. That means it is a seed. His unforgiveness, I just watered it. It now sprang. Is what sprang. It watered that seed. It created for germination. That means that seed is inside everybody. So the seed is there. But he said, don't allow it to spring forth. Don't water that seed. There are certain things that water it. Water bitterness. Bitterness. The quickest way to kill that seed, to make sure that it remains dead, is forgiveness, forbearance, long suffering. Forgiveness, forbearance, long suffering. If you don't, you will water that seed and it will spring forth. And once it springs forth, once it what? Bible says it defiles many. It has capacity of, it's like leaven. Bitterness used to what? Spread. Bitterness is like what? Bitterness is like leaven. Because bitterness will give you high. Nothing will be right again. Bitterness what? It will give you eyes. Nothing will be right again. He said, husbands, love your wife. Don't be bitter against them. Don't be bitter against them. So, you know, if there is no tendency for it, scripture won't be commanding it. Is that so? That means that there will be many, many causes or reasons why you should be bitter. And that bitterness can translate to bitter envy. Like James says it. Bitter envy. Have you seen bitter envy? Bitter envy. Bitter envy. Bitter envy. Bitter envy. Bitter envy. It can be a grace. The wife just comes into a grace. Probably a spiritual gift. Just feel that. She doesn't hear me again. The wife can come into money. You know, that's where subtle competition between spouses. Amen. Subtle what? God gave us by money. Then because of the administration of the grace of God, he feels that this money should be spread in a certain way. Then the wife feels that the man is not spending on me, so I want to get my own money too. You know, it looks rational so that I don't have to wait for him. Now, I'm not talking about a man who is frivolous and just, sometimes it's by the administration of his will that really, this money is not for us. It is to sow. Are you understanding? And it may be the wife also that, I feel we should give to this one. And realize, now because you the hen now. No, so you just keep it. Decide to be the man. Then he starts laboring for his own. You can't just agree concerning the administration of God. That thing pay now. That thing what? He pay now. So start praying now. God will bless. I'm also trusting God. That God just. You don't know that trusting God is out of bitterness. Say no, get that money. Say the spending didn't go as he wanted. Now, those are subtle transactions of the heart. That if God doesn't heal us, it will stay there. It won't be apparent. But you don't know that there is already schizing, competition. So he gets a change of job and they start paying him in dollars. The next thing, you two are already looking for change of job. That will also pay you dollars or its equivalent. Amen. People are talking as if it doesn't, it's not happening. There are things that we know. He said, don't be bitter against them. Because sometimes when God wants to disgrace you as a man, God will put the most relevant grace with your wife. What I mean, it's not disgrace. He just wants to humble you. Do you understand it? He just wants what? Humble you. So you know, go the boss say, na you, na you, na you, na you, na you. You know, sometimes that headship you can want to enter your head. And you just know that that headship is just for salvation purpose. It's just for what? Salvation. So even though they command them to obey, you have to obey. Because the principal grace that makes things work, at the hand of them, they're there. Do you understand it? You just become humble. So when you say yes, you say yes. Say yes. Yeah, let's go that way. Let's go that way. There's no problem. I agree. Fully, 100%, sir. Ma. You know, you. Amen. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. But if God has not tempered us with meekness, sometimes you get angry. So what? You are getting proud. Are you understanding? You are what? You are getting proud. You're getting proud. Then you start devising a way to be independent on your help. You see, there are many art transactions that God must heal us of. When we get to these junctions, they will search our hearts, the thoughts and the intents of the eyes, because all things are open and naked before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Why must you search? It's just a thought. God is loud in the spirit. It's loud in the spirit. You think that because you have not done it, God didn't hear it. He heard it. And that's like me was saying, some things are foul. So love your wives and be not bitter against them. I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. Amen. As many of you that are married or that will marry, you will need this. Have you not had temptation to be bitter against your wife, sir? I didn't hear you, sir. And this is your short years of marriage. No, you. I thought as an apostle. Jesus. Are you sure? 100%. If apostles are scarcely saved, then what becomes of us? I need laying on of hands. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. But are you understanding what I'm saying? The Lord, yes. Don't be bitter against them. Let me just read Ephesians chapter 6 so that I begin to tidy up for today. Ephesians chapter 5, sorry. Oh. Thank you. Okay. From verse 25 now. Husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I began to talk about this one last week. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. Amen. So, husbands, you have not started work until your wives appear in glory. Hello? Hello? Can every husband say amen? Amen. Can every brother say amen? Amen? You have not started working on your wife until what? Your wives appear what? In glory. And that's the work of a husband. You have not started working on her until she appears in glory. The certificate of your work is a glorious wife. The certificate of what? Of your work is what? A glorious wife. What did I say, sir? The certificate of good husbanding is a glorious wife. When you see wives that are rising in glory, it's a certificate of the work that has been done. And if there is anything to the other contrary, it means there's more work to be done. There's what? More work to. Fold your sleeves and get to work. Fold your what? Sleeves and get to work. So husbanding is work. Say husbanding is work. It's not entitlement. So it is not to complain how the parents raised her. No, no. You are the maker. You are the savior. You are the groom. Thank you, mommy. Mommy said, you are the groom. You are the groom. You are the bridegroom. You are the one that grooms the bride. You are the one that what? Grooms the bride into glory. So she must become more glorious under your care. She didn't know how to talk. She must learn how to talk. She didn't know how to dress. She must know how to dress. She didn't know how to cook. Teach her how to cook. She didn't know how to lead. Teach her how to lead. She doesn't know scriptures. Teach her scriptures. She doesn't know how to pray. Show her how to pray. It's the work of nurturing. So we show that husbanding is not a title, it's a work. And children begin to learn it. And how you do it, look at what it says. Amen. Okay. Present yourself a glorious church, that he might present it to the, himself a glorious church, not having what? Spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be what? Holy and without blemish. Now, read the next verse, every man. Can we read every man? So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. So, you love her out of every imperfection. You what? So, that is what they call love, not gifts. Yeah, gift is good though. It may be necessary to hate the change. Am I talking? I love that. It may be an incentive. You know, sometimes you give, even for children, when they learn this, you give prize giving day. It can be an incentive. But the change is the proper learning. Are you understanding me? What the child leaves school with is not the gift, is the learning. The gift is just an incentive to the learning. He has changed. So how do you love? Give to change. Give to what will cause change. Support change progress. Process. She should not diminish in your care. She should appreciate in value. Spiritually. Physically. Sometimes educationally. Because she sacrificed all her pursuit to follow you. And if that's the path that she needs to walk, you must support her. She must become more beautiful in it. So that's love. So you must love her out of every imperfection. So you see that the home is a site where you remove imperfections until glories appear. And glory is not just one glory. It's levels of glory. So it's not just one glory. From glory to glory. If she's been glorious, you should still be made more glorious by the day. From glory to glory, from glory to glory, we are changed by the Spirit. That's love. He says, so men ought to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife, loveth himself. For no man yet what? Hateth his own flesh, but what? So say nourishes. And cherish it. So, that is how you remove impurities. Nourish. To nourish is to provide what is lacking. Essential vitamins or essential properties that is lacking. Are you understanding it? That is nurture or nourish. When they say they are providing nourishment, it is things that are essential for your well-being. Are you understanding it? Am I boring you? No. It's to provide what? Things that are essential for your well-being. That's nourishing. Things that are essential for your well-being. If it is necessary and good for you, love compels me to provide it. If it what? If it is necessary and good for you, love compels me to provide it. If I don't have it in a minute, I trust God for the supply of it. Because that's what love does. So, I saw an harp recently. The harp is like a scanner. When the leaves of a tree is withering, you just scan it. And it will tell you the plant and what is lacking in the plant that is making it to wither. So instead of plucking the leaf out, for example, they say the plant is lacking calcium. That's why it's turning yellow. You said just add calcium to the soil and add water. So in 2 days, instead of plucking the leaves away, the leaves that have gone yellow before begins to, you know, what we know is the leaves are turning pale. We pluck it off and then we allow it to grow back. Is that not so? For those that enjoy gardening or farming on it. But, and also that sometimes it is not plucking away that is the solution. Is to supply what is lacking. Because that thing is a sign that something is lacking. Are you understanding? It's a show that something is lacking. And wisdom behoves you to be able to know what is lacking and supply it. And when you supply, you now see it begins to blossom. What was faint before then begins to blossom because you have supplied what is lacking. So, what am I saying? To take care of impurities or blemishes. Those blemishes are as a result of things that are lacking. Shame on me. Those blemishes are as a result of things that are lacking. And by grace, a man can begin to supply it. So, husband is a supplier. Husband is what? Of everything that is lacking for the growth and well-being. Well-being, wholeness, until that soul comes in the fullness of glory. So, before you want to marry that wife, the question is, ask yourself, do you have all that is needed to supply our wants? Not just material. I'm not talking about marriage material. I'm not talking, thank God our ladies are not materialistic. Do you understand it? Even though it is necessary to take care of that as God gives you grace. Amen. But what I'm saying is this. The love that many of us know is just to pluck good things. I came to pluck flower from your garden. And that flower, you won't go and plant it in the place where it will grow better. You don't pluck it until it withers. When it now withers and dries, this is even bad. It's not, you don't throw it away. You don't look for another one to pluck. Don't come and pluck flower. We want to be watering it and growing it. Eh? Don't come and pluck. If you can't grow a flower, don't come and pluck it from us. Let it keep growing. You like good thing. You like what? Don't pluck it away. Instead, I saw a flower in your door. I came to come and pluck it. But said Job, so don't pluck it. Let it grow. You see, wow, I love it. I want to transplant it to my garden so I can watch over it. Hey, it makes sense. I want to transplant it. It's a transplant. I want to move it to, you see, I've prepared a garden. I've been looking for this kind of flower to beautify it. The soil is fertile. You're a gardener. I want to pluck it. Pluck it. So, after 2 days, what will happen? Amen. Are we blessed? It says, all men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. Whosoever loveth shall love himself. For no man yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. Say cherish. Say cherish. You see, one cry in my heart. One cry in my heart. I know we will break through. we will break through. I say every home in this assembly will break through.
Amen.
That beyond the level of appreciation, apprehension that we have come into before, the Lord will open our eyes much more. I don't know how to say this very well. He said, it doesn't only nourish by supplying that which is lacking. Is to what? Cherish. Cherish every moment. Cherish every step. Cherish every step of the way. Cherish. You see, may we be able to fully interpret the heart of the Lord Jesus. We are not seeing this. This thing is a pain in the heart of Jesus. Oh, because like I said, marriage is supposed to be interpreting something in his heart. In the heart of the Lord. And to the degree to which we don't interpret it, is a pain. It's a pain. So a man can be nourishing, but he's not cherishing. A man can be what? Nourishing, but he's not cherishing. For him, the work is overwhelming. He's not doing it with gratitude and rejoicing in the heart. There are pain. You know, that's the, what they call it now? Of this thing. Because in one sense, you are long-suffering and laboring. In another sense, you are rejoicing and you are grateful. Are you understanding? And your labor and forbearance must not overwhelm you to the point where thanksgiving and gratitude is departed from your heart. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He said, he doesn't only nourish, he cherish it. Cherishing underscores the import of value. Now, while it has not even become glorious, because all of this nourish it and cherish it, they are present continuous. Are you understanding it? So, at every moment, even when there are still spots and blemish, there is still a cherishing. Are you understanding? Then when a spot goes, there's another level of cherish. So there is a present, continuous, full appreciation of the work that is ongoing that the Lord recognizes. Just like angels rejoice when the heights of somebody is over. You see, there's some darkness, but they just know that this one is past. And there is joy in the soul because that soul is becoming more precious. The Father is, hallelujah. May God help us. Sometimes the pain, the reason for ingratitude is because we see the things that have not been done yet, but we forget the things that have been done. Are you understanding? So, may God give you eyes to cherish on per minute basis. Do you understand what I'm saying? Where every moment I can cherish for the measure of work that has been accomplished. Otherwise, I can be caught up in complainings and murmurings that are even offense. I tell you, it's not easy. You must have eyes like the Lord to see this. Amen. Young men, are you seeing what husbanding entails? Young men, answer me.
Yes, sir.
You have to have eyes that is filled with faith, not discouraged. Eyes that is what? Filled with faith, not discouraged. You know, sometimes it's near as if we made progress two steps, then we make the motion 5 steps again. It can seem like that sometimes, but at the end of the day, you must cherish forever. You know. To Jesus, the church is always the church. When Paul was persecuting the church, he said, "You persecute. This is Jesus, whom you persecute. Why kickest thou against the priest?" He said, "I am Jesus. Why art thou, Lord?" He said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." That was still a baby church where they were still fighting over tables. And he said, "It is me." Just imagine. So our Lord said, "Don't be me. Because some level of imperfection, you don't want to be part of it. Are you understanding? Some level of what? You don't want it to be named with you. But Jesus said, it is me. Amen. That's cherishing. Hallelujah. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. God will help us. I say God will help us. God will raise husbands indeed. In the name of Jesus. Many. Many husbands will arise. Many. I said many. Because one of the things that I say God is a solid homes. Solid. Very, very solid homes. That God can entrust his heritage to. Let me just close here. Amen. He said, for we are members of the body and his flesh and of his bone. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and he shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife. See that she what? I didn't hear that. So when they say, see that you love her as yourself, what it means is that nurture and cherish. Because that's what you do to your flesh. Nurture. Provide everything that is lacking. And appreciate every step of the way. That is actually loving as yourself. Supply everything that is what? Lacking. And what? Appreciate what? Every step of the way. And I said, see that the wife also will do what? Reverence her husband. That revere. Say revere. Revere. Reverence, not despise. Reverence is deep honor. Honor them for their work's sake. Honor for the work's sake. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we will hold these truths, there is a standard that our homes cannot be less than. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If we will hold these truths, there is a standard that our homes cannot be less than. Must not be less than. See, presently, many of us may seem to be falling short, including myself. But God wants to raise us. I say God wants to raise us. God wants to help us. That's why he's bringing his judgment. This judgment is not to condemn. You hear what they said in church today? No. That's not. Oh, do you know that that's not the essence of this? Especially for married ones. That's not the essence. The essence is light has come. Judgment has come to help everyone. So it's not something to attack. Were you there? Have you listened to that message? No. Don't hear for another person. Hear for your own. Hear your own part. Say, hear your own part. Yes, you can review it together, but hear your own part. God is bringing judgment to help us. To help the house. I said, there's a great commitment of heaven over us. Some of these things have always been in the Bible, but the grace to say it like this is coming because of the things that we need to enter into. So whether you're a son, you're a child, you're a wife, your husband, parent, there is something that God is expecting of us. I was really hoping that I'll be able to elaborate on the way of truth and then the law of truth. Maybe some other time, maybe next week, the Lord will give us grace to teach on that. The way and the law of truth. Because that's actually all about the building. You know, Daddy was saying about that the building is just about the building and then the law. That's the apostle and the high priest. The building is ways. Is ways. That's ways are lines. Ways are lines that they use to raise building. Then the law of our ordinance is the going out and the coming in. The how, that is all about it. But the Lord must help us. In the next 1, 2, 3 minutes, I want us to pray. And I want us to pray particularly concerning homes. The expression of this word in homes. That the bar that the Lord is raising in this season, none of us will fall short of it. In the name of the Lord Jesus. That heaven will help us as husbands, as wives, as parents, as children, as an household, that the Lord will help us. In the name of the Lord Jesus, that the Lord will show us great mercy, that the measure that heaven is measuring out for us, that we will not fall below it. That heaven will help us to cut off, to fulfill that expectation in the spirit. I want us to pray. Open your mouth and pray. Don't just mutter beneath your breath. Pray out. Pray out. Open your mouth and pray. That Lord Jesus will help us. If you want to pray in the spirit, you can pray in the spirit. If you want to pray in your understanding, you can pray in your understanding. But pray. Make sure you talk to Jesus. That this new mercy that we have found before the throne of Jesus, that our Lord will help us. If you are not married, you can pray that the Lord will prepare you. The Lord will prepare you. That's kind. Of a man that will be able to fulfill this commandment. That kind of a woman that will be able to fulfill this commandment before the Lord Jesus.
We trust that this message has been a source of blessing to you. For a wealth of similar messages, please visit our website at www.ikorodu.nlwc.church or feel free to contact us at 0703-576-0085. You can also reach out to us via WhatsApp at the same number. May God's blessings continue to abound in your life.